Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to In Lockdown, brought to you by Lavazza. Today we bring you part two of our Jens Lehmann interview. If you missed the first part last week, it's still available for you to go back and listen to before carrying on with today's show. We pick up the interview this week with Jens talking about our unforgettable run to the 2006 Champions League final.
Some incredible performances that season, especially in the Champions League. There was that incredible run. And the penalty save against Riquelme in the semi-final is obviously a huge moment for you and for the whole club. But I think your performance against Real Madrid was perhaps even better. What would you say were your highlights that season?
The highlight was that we got to the final with a team, sometimes where players had to play positions they were not used to. It was the first time for them.
Yeah.
And our organization, our defensive organization, combined with the individual technique and skill of our strikers and forward-going players. Because the games were always very tight, but we were very, very disciplined. And we played a new system in midfield at away, in away games. And I had to, from my personal point of view, I had to perform flawless because I wanted to play for the German national team in the World Cup.
Yep.
I knew that if I'd made a mistake, Arsene would have taken me out of goal again. And so I was always a bit scared. And I think I had this spell when he put me on the bench for a couple, yes, of games. And after that, I think I've not made any mistakes until that final.
So let's talk about the final then. The 19th minute of the game is one that I guess you have flashbacks to.
Only when people want to talk about it.
Only when people like me ask you.
Yeah.
But you said you felt like the loneliest person on the planet. I mean, does it get any easier with time? That was 14 years ago now.
No, actually not. You regret it more and more, what happened. But it was in a spur of a second, a moment, and just happened. And it was probably down a little bit to the fact that we haven't conceded any goal, and I just wanted to get it going like that, and I should have dropped off a little bit more. But I didn't know how fast Eto was as well, because it was the first time I was playing him. Yeah, very unfortunate circumstances. But have you realized that after that red card, nobody else ever had been taken off or had been sent off in a final, unless it was the 90th minute and the score was already clear and decisive.
Yeah, late on.
During the major part of the game, nobody ever has been sent off.
And the referee actually said, didn't he, a few years later, he regrets the decision because he said he should have played on, given Barcelona the goal and given a yellow card. And I think that's what you're talking about. That doesn't happen anymore. They don't want to ruin the game or make the game too one-sided.
Yes.
But the game itself, I mean, so what did you do? You have to go back into the dressing room. Did you even watch the rest of the game? How did you follow the game?
I was very sorry because Robert Pires has been taken off.
Mm.
I was going to the stands where I was sitting and my sons came to me. Yeah, we were very, very sad. We were sitting there and I mean, we could have got a fantastic happy end, but what was it? Belletti. Belletti. Yeah?
Yes, the fullback, yeah.
Yeah, Belletti has scored. I've met him a couple of years ago. He had good memories of me.
I'm sure. But Manuel Almunia obviously came on, took your place in that game.
He did well.
What was your relationship with Manuel? Because it was different to Graham Stack, wasn't he? As you said earlier, as long as you know they don't want to take your place, you get on well with them. But he did take your place for a few games.
Yes, that's true. And then he learned something new in his goalkeeping life, that other goalkeepers do not always support him because it's a fight for the number one. He wasn't used to it. And I was fighting him in every training session until I got my place back. And when I have left Arsenal, I had a conversation with him and said, Manuel, I like you really much as a person. I dare to understand me. I had to get back my place. I know you hated me, but I never hate you, because it was just a professional relationship. And he was very surprised by that. Now, after, we had a very good relationship, because he realized that it was never personal. Because I always knew that he was a very nice guy. Mm. Yeah, and a great goalkeeper as well. His only disadvantage was that he came into the big game a little bit late. So sometimes it's not easy to cope with the pressure then.
So you didn't tell him at the time that it was nothing personal and it was only professional. You waited until the end of his career and your career. You didn't ever have a conversation at all when you were teammates?
Not really, no.
And was that the way you were with most rivals for your position? I know as well with Germany.
With Oliver Kahn, sometimes it was different because I was number two and I was challenging him always in between the tournaments. But when we played the tournament and I knew I was number two, I kind of supported him. Yeah, I wished him good luck. And when he played well, I congratulated him. But in between, it was a fight. And so we had some conversations. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was bad, particularly in the run-up to the World Cup 2006.
Of course, it's the one in Germany, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, his home country, and the opening game was in Munich, his stadium, where he was on Edwards, huge billboards everywhere. And they had to remove the billboards and whatever, because he wasn't playing.
So what was his reaction to you? Was it similar to how you had been?
No, he didn't talk to me either. Once he said, okay, good luck, before the penalty shootout against Argentina. And that was it. But I don't blame him, because everybody reacts differently. He wanted to play, but he did not everything for it. And I think I did 110%. But my situation at Arsenal helped me a lot, because I knew that the competition there was much bigger. And I had to do more to play for Arsenal than actually for the German national team.
So how did you cope when you were out of the team at Arsenal? What did you blame Arsene Wenger? Did you blame Manuel Almunia? Or did you just look at yourself and try to improve? How did you deal with it?
On the first day, I remember I came out of his office and he told me that he's not playing me anymore. And then he told me that considering my situation for the German national team, he recommends that I was leaving the club, because he did not intend to play me anymore. Because he said, I met twice the experience of a goalkeeper who I had played too long. He was too old and I played him too long. I don't want to make this experience or this mistake the third time.
Oh.
And by the way, you look too tired as well. And then I was getting out of his office into the gym. And it was a very intense 30-minute session where I was furious. And Tony Covert was next to me, and I was so furious that I have twisted my ankle. And I was in pain, but I insisted to go out to practice, because I didn't want to give him the the justification of his wrong decision, and to see, oh, now he's even injured. Right decision. Yeah, I didn't want to do that. And then for a couple of days, I was furious. But then I started to do some meditation. Philip Waxel, the osteopath, I was always with him throughout my whole time at Arsenal, every week. And he said to me, okay, you have to focus a little bit on your breathing and your techniques, and you're doing yoga, which is good. And a friend of mine gave me a book about meditation, and I started that. And from that moment on, I think it was a week after Arsene's decision to drop me, I went to him and said, okay, boss, I understand your decision, but you have to understand me. I'm staying, and you will let me play again, I'm sure. And sometimes we were arguing. Every week I was in his office. Sometimes we were arguing, but not in a bad way. It was just about arguments, exchanging arguments. And after a while, I learned how you can convince people the way you approach them. And that was in that book. That was very interesting. And that was programmizing yourself, visual learning and visual success and all that stuff.
It sounds like it changed you quite a lot, that time in your career, changed your personality.
Yeah, I should have done that 5 years ago or before. Because it was a game changer for me. Yes, it was. But it was very exhausting. Yeah, every day after training, I was meditating for 30 minutes. I even made the experience that you could meditate pain and injury of your body. Very interesting, just by.
And that worked for you?
That worked perfectly, because even for the German national team, at the time when Arsene dropped me in Germany, they said, okay, Kahn will play again in the World Cup. Yeah, decisions made, because he doesn't even play in London. And a year later, Uli Hoeneß, he was a managing director there by Munich, he said, well, when I look at Jens Lehmann, he must know something, because the way he comes across, he must know that he's playing the World Cup. But I didn't. But I realized, okay, what the book said and what I've learned. When you change your attitude and when you change your self-perception, others perceive you in a different way. Mm. And that's what happened there. What was probably the purpose of the book and the purpose of this meditation and all that preparation. And that was very interesting. And Arsene was the same. Yeah. He didn't perceive me anymore as an old, tired German keeper. All of a sudden, he perceived me as, wow, if I play him, my chances of losing are quite remote.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So did you have another meeting with Arsene where he explained that to you, or was it just you were back in the team?
No. I knew Manuel started to make mistakes, and I knew that he was going to play me again. And he played me the first time at Aston Villa. It was a fantastic reception when the fans saw that I was playing. I will never forget that.
Yeah, and your relationship with the fans generally, you said right at the start that you didn't want to replace David Seaman as a legend or a fan's favourite, but you did become loved by the Arsenal fans for your character, for your style, and for your goalkeeping.
Yeah, probably. I think I realised there was a tough or entertaining German. And I was lucky because I was the only signing and we've never lost in the first season. In the second, we won the FA Cup and in the third, we nearly won the Champions League. So there was not that much to complain.
And then you came back. So you had your last season, 2007-2008, when the team was starting to change, wasn't it? It was a younger team.
Yeah.
In a new stadium. Did you feel a little bit that you were becoming out of place, that this wasn't your team anymore? How did you feel in the dressing room towards the end of your first spell?
I think they made a mistake because they have changed our group of players too fast. So it was only at the end, it was only Gilberto and myself, and we weren't really playing. And then they got rid of us as well. And so the whole mentality of this group, which we have represented, and the values of this group and the success and how to approach training sessions and all these important issues, I think all of a sudden that was gone. And what I've heard after is that every player who had a good game thought he was on top of the hierarchy, and they underestimated that. I think Arsene as well, he was very wanted to change the team for a younger, spectacular team. But in terms of dressing room attitude, I think he should have kept us for a year or more.
It seemed quite an immature team in terms of experience at that time.
It wasn't their fault. They were immature and they were inexperienced. And there was no leadership because what I said before, all of a sudden Cesc, who had a good game, was on top of the hierarchy. But he was a kid, or Robin Percy, or even Alex Lipp.
And did you say that to the boss at that time? Did you have a relationship with Arsene where you could say that sort of thing to him, or was it not how?
No, I was gone. I was gone. So I didn't.
Okay.
I wasn't in touch with him anymore.
But you felt you could have stayed. You should have stayed.
I don't know if I should have. But in terms of dressing room mentality and team spirit, responsibilities, Gilbert and I, we were the last ones. We should have stayed.
Yeah.
Like he did with Martin Kuhn.
Yes.
When I came, Martin was there. And he was fantastic for the group. He was fantastic in the dressing room. He was still keen to play. But he accepted his role. It was not that dominant anymore. But he was so important for our group. And I think he had a very huge percentage of this success of becoming unbeaten champions.
Yeah, you can have an influence off the pitch as well as on the pitch, can't you? Yeah. Let's just finish by talking about your comeback then. You were doing your coaching badges, weren't you, at Arsenal in 2011?
I was the first one, I think. I started and I asked the boss, boss, I need to have a place where I can practice. That's for my coaching license here.
Yep.
And after me, I think there was Saul, Thierry, Freddy, Patrick, I think, I don't know. And there were a couple of others. And that's what we loved. And the boss loved it as well, that he always had his one or two of his old players around him.
But then you didn't expect to play, surely. And then you were all of a sudden.
You mean when I was coming back as a, not as a coach, as a.
Yeah, but you came back as a coach first and it was because you were there that you got signed up. Is that right? Because there were injuries?
No, that's not true.
Okay, what happened for you to.
I came there, I think it was in November or December. And I said to Jerry, I'm half a year off the pitch now. Come on, let's do one session. I want to see how much I've lost. And it turned out I haven't lost a lot. So I think 1 or 2 months later, he remembered me and he said to the boss, listen, Jens is still fit. We don't have goalkeepers available apart from Manuel. Let's get him back. And I enjoyed that a lot because the pressure was not there and I was practicing. It was fun. And it was just up to the game where I always all of a sudden had to play. It was a little funny journey. And
yeah.
I remember, for example, that I made my first ever appearance in a reserves game when I was 41.
Yes.
Because they've asked me, do you want to play at Wigan? What? I say, yeah, okay, I go there and play. And I had a bad game because I didn't get the timings right and my spatial awareness wasn't so good. And so they slaughtered me again in the papers. But I knew that 1 or 2 weeks later, I would have been up because then the routine was there again.
Mm.
And right at this time, when Manuel decided not to play, just 20 minutes or 25 minutes before the game, I was a bit nervous, I have to say. And all of a sudden he said to me, I asked him, can you play? And he said, my knee. Manuel, you have 1 minute to make a decision whether you can play or not. And after 1 minute, can you play or not? I'm not sure. Okay, tell me now, yes or no. And he said, no. And I've asked Gipsy to do the warm-up with me for 10 or 20 minutes. And I was very nervous. I came into the dressing room. And then I was going, I was sitting there and I thought, okay, what happened in my last game a year ago or whatever?
Mm.
And I realized what I had to do and my routines. And when I came out there, out of this room, the boss said to me, Jens, as always. And I said, yes, yes, of course. But I was so nervous and they expected they called me the German machine before, and they expected the German machine to do what they were used to do for me.
Yeah, what he'd always done.
Yeah, what he's always there.
And even though you are now 41.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about the game. It was your 200th game for Arsenal, so it meant you had a nice round number to finish your career.
Yes, exactly. It was nice. It was, we scored, and was it 2-1?
3-1 in the end.
3-1 in the end. Yeah, it was good. It was I didn't have to make a lot of saves. I think I had to play a little bit with them, and I conceded one where I was angry about as always, but it hasn't changed. But it was a nice win, and I think it was one of a few wins away from home at the time.
Yeah, a nice way to finish.
Yes, very nice way. Whereas I think Arsene made a mistake after because he didn't let me play. Wojciech came back. He should have let me play again.
You were keen to carry on. You would have played more games.
No, because Wojciech was very young and he didn't make a save at all at the time. We were still competing for the championship with Man United.
Yes. So you wanted to play some more games. And then you went into coaching, coached at Arsenal for a bit, and now you're assistant at Augsburg. Can you just tell us about that before we finish?
Yeah, I was happy and grateful that they let me do my coaching badges. They are the reserves. And sometimes the under-19s, Steve Gedding and under-19, I think, was it Steve Bold at the time?
Yes, it could have been back then, yes.
I was looking at them and it was fantastic for me to come over, to practice, to learn about organization. And a couple of years later, I've asked the boss if he needed an assistant. And first he rejected, but then he thought, okay, I need to have more intensity on the pitch. That's what you're good at. And so he brought me in. And it was a fantastic experience. Whereas I have to say, at the time, I was learning more than I could give, apart from the intensity. But in the first half year, I was looking and I was making mistakes. But I think that was normal. But in the second half of the season, that was okay then. And I've learned a lot. And then I was at Augsburg, but only for a short spell. I shouldn't have done that because I didn't realize Arsenal, when you go to Arsenal, Arsenal is a very classy club. And it's a big club and cannot expect to do everything right at the beginning. So they help you. Augsburg, I went there. We won the first games. So we made sure not to get relegated. But then they decided to sack the coach. And because in Germany, I'm football wise, I'm also a very prominent figure. And instead of keeping what they have promised me in such a case, they sacked me as well because the new manager is what I guess he didn't want to work together with me. And, that was the opposite of classy. That was, not very social. So that I made a very bad experience in terms of that.
So what's next for you?
Well, I have a couple of ideas. I want to become a coach again, because now I think I'm up for it, because I'm old enough. And when I see coaching now, I think that the quality of coaching is probably not as high as it should be. So there must be chances to get in again. But there could be some other options as well in football. You see, right now I'm actually advising an investor from Hertha Berlin.
Okay.
Who went to buy them, and he doesn't understand everything about football. So he needs a guy who tells him sometimes how football works.
And are you still meditating?
No, I should do that. It was, in my time, it was very exhausting. I do yoga, but meditating, that was an effort, you know?
Yeah, a lot of time. Yeah, Jens, I really appreciate your time today. We've gone through so much. Could have spoken for another hour, but I'm going to let you go because I'm sure you've got things to do, but I really appreciate your time, and it's always great to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Our thanks to Jens for sparing his time for us and for sharing those memorable stories. Before we go, just a reminder to make sure you subscribe to the show from wherever you get your podcasts. And also, if you could leave a review or rating, that would really help us out too. Thanks again to our partners at Lavazza. Remember, if you're in the UK, you can purchase your favourite coffee at lavazza.co.uk. We'll be back again next Tuesday when our guest is former striker Kevin Campbell. So until then, thanks for listening.